In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we've been studying how Peter and John went to the beautiful gate of the temple and healed the lame man, and then preached Jesus, for which they were arrested and put on trial. And then the trial, they were asked, by whose authority or whose power have ye done this? And today we're going to study Peter's defense. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now reread about Peter's defense before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. But let me read verses 5 through 12. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed done to an impotent man, by what means this man is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even in him doth this man stand before you whole. He is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which was made the head of the corner. And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men, wherein we must be saved." In a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of May the 27th, 1927, we read these comments on this defense. Peter, as usual, spoke out of and led in this defense. He must have remembered that only a few weeks previous to this time, his own beloved master had stood in the awful night of betrayal, bound before the same ungodly Annas and Caiaphas, and then, after daylight, before the regular council, that he himself denied his Lord, and went out and repented and wept bitterly. This must have made him braver and more fearless now. Besides, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, according to the promise of Jesus. "Yea, and before governors and kings shall ye be brought for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, be not anxious how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you." Matthew 10:18-20. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to withstand or gainsay." Luke 21:15. The apostles were not always under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit, but he came upon them to teach and guide them as the occasion required. Peter addressed the council in a dignified and polite manner. He took advantage of the occasion to preach Jesus to them, as Jesus had promised. This imprisonment and trial had turned out unto them for a testimony. Luke chapter 21 and verse 13. Notice, Peter makes prominent a good deed done to an impotent man who was standing in their midst whole. He impressed upon them the fact that he and John had been arrested and were on trial for this good deed. It was through envy that Jesus had been delivered up to death by these very men, Matthew 27:18. And through jealousy they persecuted the apostles, Acts 5:17-18. Peter then sent the probe of truth directly into their heart when he accused them of seeking to punish him and John for a good deed. He wanted them and all the people to know that the good deed of healing the lame man was performed through the power, that is, in the name of Jesus. This was the means by which he had been made whole, as Peter had said the day before to the multitude. It was through no power or holiness of their own, but through faith in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Two things could not be denied: that the man had been healed, verses 14-16, that the miracle had been wrought, just as Peter explained, in the name of Jesus. They could not deny that the power was superhuman or divine, and they could not reject the explanation given by the apostles that it came through Jesus. He worked miracles through the apostles. Well, the lesson would be incomplete without showing the result of this trial. Peter now turns his accusers and charges them with the crucifixion of Jesus, and proves that they were the great sinners in so doing, because God, in raising him from the dead, had shown that Jesus was just and they were murderers and betrayers. Also, Jesus now had power with God and had healed the lame man. He pressed their sins further upon them in accusing them of rejecting the very stone which God had selected and made the head of the corner. In doing so, he was quoting from the Psalms, Psalm 118:22-23. And no doubt all those gathered were familiar with these Old Testament Psalms and would have understood the import of the quotation that he had made and the application given. Jesus had also quoted this psalm and applied it to himself in Matthew 21:42-43. Peter refers to this on another occasion in 1 Peter 2:4-8. Psalm 118 serves as a prophetic text for the things that came to pass in the New Testament. The figure presents the builders as rejecting as worthless the stone which was afterward discovered to be the chief stone of the building. This stone is Christ. These rulers and elders, addressed by Peter, were builders and had rejected the chief stone of the building, the despised Nazarene. Not only is Jesus this stone, but now dropping the figure, Peter declares that there is salvation in no other name or power. If saved at all, people must be saved through Jesus and by his worth and merit. The great fabric of human redemption cannot go up without Jesus of Nazareth as the chief cornerstone. He is the promised seed of Abraham, the star of Jacob, the hope of Israel, the Savior of the world. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. 1 John 5:11-12. It was Peter who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God. John 6:68-69. Seeing the boldness of Peter and John, finding no way of making out a charge against them, they decided that All they could do was to threaten them and strictly that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. Without fear or hesitation, they responded, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Let me read to you some of the remaining of Acts chapter 4. It says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, "Now when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, and had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been wrought through them, as manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name.' And they called them and charged them not to speak or at all to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' And they, when they had further threatened them, let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which had been done. For the man was more than 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been wrought." Acts 4 and verse 23. "And being let go, they came to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And they, when they heard it, lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'O Lord, thou that didst make heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, thy servants did say, why did the Gentiles rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of earth set themselves in array, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For of a truth, in this city, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. And now, Lord, look on their threatenings, and grant to thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness, while thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spake the word of God with boldness." Well, that comes to the end of that Sunday school lesson. And I turn the page, and I find here a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of May the 29th, 1927. And the title of this lesson is Peter, Undaunted by Persecution. The lesson text is Acts chapter 5, 27 through 35, and 38 through 42. In the remaining time, I'll read what I can of that lesson text. Acts chapter 5, 27. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.' But Peter and the apostles answering said, 'We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. Him did God exalt to with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance unto Israel, and the remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We'll continue this in our next class.